Blog Talk Radio.
This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. For it is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. For it's in Him we live, in Him we move, and in Him we have our being. Glorious and victorious day. It is the second day of September. The year is 2018. You've tuned into the Power Principle, a time of revitalization, renewal, and refurbishing the spirit man so that the power of God's presence, His supernatural presence, can produce miracles in the physical realm. And truly, we know if there was ever a time that so many of us are standing in the need, in the speed of physical manifestations of miracles to take place. Henceforth, that time is right now. But it's good to know that we serve a right on time God who never fails. He never fails. Despite what the enemy attempts to bring forth, He never fails, and there is no fault in Him. He told us through His word, we should decree a thing. What are you looking for God to do for you on this very day? The power principle. And we should decree a thing. Have you decided what it is that you need at this very hour? And it shall be established. When something is established, it's created, it's spoken through the concentration, through the confidence of it materializing. It is a concept that takes on an embodiment which takes on a full-fledged manifestation once the seasons have produced the right type of atmosphere. That's right, an atmosphere of thanksgiving, an atmosphere of praise, an atmosphere full of faith. And what is faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh unto God must first believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So what God is speaking to us and saying in His word, what it is that you need, tell me. Tell me in confidence and know that I've already received your petition and I've already set my seal of authenticity, my seal of authorization upon your request, and that I watch over my word. God does. He watches over His word to perform it. That's right. And when He watches over His word to perform it, He will make sure it takes full manifestation in the physical realm. And therefore, we must give God the honor and the glory so well deserving of Him. Amen. And it's in Psalms 116, as David is saying, I love the Lord because He has heard my voice and my supplications. Supplications are prayers in which God is committedly so addressed regarding a circumstance or a situation on behalf of that individual. And we all know that David, in his infancy stages and phases of becoming the king of Israel, anointed and appointed by God, faced a lot of opposition. The very man that said he was proud of David was envious of him and desirous to remove him from his posture, because he knew, King Saul knew, that God's hand of authority had designated David to become the king of Israel. So he became angry and stagnant and tried to do whatever he could to keep him from the promise of his calling. What's preventing you from the promise of your calling today? That's right, here on the Power Principle. Identify what it is. Tell God what it is. Make your supplication known unto God. That's right, and who is our indeed reasonable service. Then he says, because he hath inclined his ear unto me. That means because he hath heard me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. So King David is saying, because he hath considered me and he has answered me in times past, I will therefore call upon him for as long as there is breath within me. Third verse says, the sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. He's saying, everywhere I seem to turn, there was an undesired circumstance or situation that beset me or caused me depression, caused me frustration, caused me a sense of helplessness and of hopelessness. I got to the point I did not understand what was going on. Where was I going? Where was I headed to? Where is my life destined? He said, I got to that point. But listen to the fourth verse. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. And we know that the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and that the righteous went into it, and they are saved. He says, oh, Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. He says, I got to the point I just couldn't take it no more. I was desirous of my own departure from this world. He says, so I called upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. Bless his holy name. And I spake unto him. He says, I beseech thee, Lord, deliver my soul, because I was brought down to a low place, and no one would seem to reach out to help me. That's right. And said, what happened? Gracious. That word gracious, what does gracious mean? Kind. Consideratory. Reflective. Meek. Caring is the Lord. And righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. And this is why in the Beatitudes, Jesus taught the disciples that blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And God's infinite mercy, his graciousness, and his existential consideration for us, he goes the extra mile of the way. He forces doors down that seem to hold us captive from receiving that much-needed miracle or that breakthrough. He removes the hindrances. He destroys those hindrances that seem to keep us captive. And the songwriter said, God said, all their high places I bring down. So lo and behold, he said, God did it. The Lord preserved the simple. I was brought low. I mean, I was at my LCD, my least common denominator. And what? And he helped me. I mean, he raised me up amongst those who considered my falling, to those who desired to see my failure. And he exalted me, and he blessed me, and he prospered me, and he multiplied his greatness unto me. And he says, return unto thy rest, O my soul. That means get yourself back in divine order and get refocused and get on the mission that God set you on, because all is well. All is well. For the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. That's a trifold level of deliverance. My soul from death. You have removed the grieving circumstances that seem to hinder me in my life. What are those circumstances in your life that seem to hinder you? Is it your financial situation? Is it a condition in your body? Is it a condition within your family? Is it a circumstance at your job? Is it a circumstance in your place of worship? Is it within your relationship, your marital relationship? Give it to God. Let go and let God. You cannot manipulate the circumstances of this world. You cannot facilitate the very ability to monopolize or to manipulate the situations that face you. You see it now. You see it. It's evident. The power lies in trusting God. Some things God gives into our hands to fix, but beyond what we do, we have to let go and let God. And this is what David did. He said, now my soul can have peace now, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. He says, you've delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears. And you know something the scripture tells us. They that sow in tears shall weep in laughter. That's right. we show deep in joy and exceeding joy. That means beyond our greatest imagination, beyond the greatest dexterity of our consideration, shall we receive the joy of the Lord. Because the joy of the Lord is our strength. This is the reason why the enemy tries so hard to destroy our level of joy. See, when you have joy, you have expectancy. When you have joy, you have the ability to see beyond what's going on and see what God is doing behind the scenes. That's right. And he says, and my feet from falling. That's right. And you think about what the scripture says. It says, they that wait upon the Lord, he shall renew their strength. He said, what? They shall mount up with the wings of what? Eagles. They shall run and not get weary. They shall walk and not faint. That's right. He said, therefore, I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. That means I'm a testimony. Don't be afraid when God brings us up and brings us out and delivers us and opens up that pathway, gives us that breakthrough that we've been praying for, that many of us have had sleepless nights about and have restless days about. Just testify. Tell someone else about it so that they can receive the greatness of God's presence in their life, because this is what God has revealed unto me, that when he gives me a breakthrough, I can share that breakthrough with you, and it becomes a contagion. That's right. It becomes infectious so that others are affected by it and they receive as well. The blessings of the Lord, divine breakthroughs, his miracles are not for me and you to sit on. It's to be shared. That's why it is to be testified and given a test to unto others so that they will receive. He says, I believe, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. I mean, he's saying to us that I experienced these tumultuous events and occurrences in my life, and this is why I'm sharing with you here in Psalms 116, God will do what he said he will do. Hold on and hold fast, because the miracles are indeed coming. He says, I said in my haste, all men are liars. He said, I said in my desperation, I can't trust anybody, that no one seems to have come through to me. Because why? God did not allow them to come through with you, because God wants to show who he was on your behalf, what he can do. That's right. It's wonderful for us to want to speak the word and to teach the word, but we have to live by the word, and therefore we experience these things so that we can be an effective witness. Because before we can be an instructor of the word, we have to be a clarifying student. We have to be an apparent witness of God's infinite mercy. That's right. He says, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? That means, what can I do, God, to show my appreciation? And we should say that now. God, I thank you for delivering me. Say it with me. God, I thank you for delivering me. God, I thank you for prospering me. Say it. God, I thank you for bringing me up and bringing me out and putting the enemy beneath my feet. Thou prepared a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. We should be echoing that testimony right now. Believe it, receive it, and achieve it. Because God has spoken. His manifestation is right here and right now. He says, I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. What do you think? I will recognize your name, God. It's not my name that brought forth my deliverance. It is not my capacity that brought forth the miracles. It is thy power, thy omnipotence, thy omniscience, and thy omnipresence that brought it forth. Omnipotence means all powerful. All power within the heaven and the earth are in God's hands. Omniscient means all knowing. There is nothing secret from God. He knows the very length of our days. He knows our desires. He knows our faults and our shortcomings. And omnipresence, every place and every given time, because he is God and he has that capacity. And he's saying, I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all the people. That means I'm going to speak your word and I'm going to bless those who are also experienced such an occurrence in their life. Because why? You have brought me up and brought me up. When God gives us that financial deliverance, we should bless someone else. We have to bless someone else because, again, it has to be infectious. It has to be contagious. The blessings of God have to have contagion in them. That means it has to spread to others. That's right. So that God is glorified and not the flesh glorified. The flesh has been crucified, but God has been glorified. That's right. And this is the reason why God commands us to share our blessings with one another. And oh, thank you, Lord. The precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. To be absent in the body is to be present with the Lord. No true child of God nor Christian believer should fear making a transition, because to be absent in the body means to be present with the Lord. That's right. And to be present with the Lord is the only place that we know that's purely safe, that's purely sound, that's purely peaceable. That's right. Even so, the thief, and Jesus speaking unto him, faith, and said, this day shall thou be with me in paradise. So wherever Jesus is, we know it's heaven there. That's right. Oh, Lord, he says, I am thy servant. I am thy servant. And the son of thine handmaid, thou hast loosed my bonds. He's saying, oh, Father God, I praise you. I acknowledge you. I glorify you. You know truly whom I came from in my genealogical perspective of birthing, through my family analysis. But, Lord, you look beyond who my genealogical factors were reflective of, and you chose me. You have anointed and appointed me. Many of us, God has anointed and appointed to sit in heavenly places in him as it relates to governance, as it relates to being empowered. That's right, as it relates to being in leadership. But we had to get broken down in order to be made, that's right, so that we would be prepared for the task and suited for the calling and which God has orchestrated unto us. He says, I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. He says, now I'm going to only recognize you and praise you. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving because I know if it hadn't been for you, I would have never received my breakthrough. I would have never received my deliverance. I would have still been held captive. I would have been a running man. That's what he's saying. I still would have been hiding about from those who desire to afflict me. But because God, you set me up and set me out, therefore I stand as a testimony of your greatness, your kindness, and your infinite mercy upon mankind. He says, I will pay my vows unto the Lord in the presence of all his people. That means I'm going to acknowledge God before the presence of all they who profess you and even to those who don't possess you. I will give my testimony before them, and I will walk upright in the land of the living, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem. Praise me, the Lord, and to let everything that have its breath praise the Lord. It's miracle receiving time. We have been in the sea for far too long, and as a result of our standing in the sea, many of us have become weary, we have become lax, and many of us have become wanting. Some have even fallen by the wayside. Some have gotten so discouraged and despondent they turn back into the world. But it is a time of reflection, of revitalization, and recultivation, and to the great foe in which God has set us into. Come with me to the 16th chapter of the book of Matthew, and let us even so, thank you, Lord, speak his word according to the word, the very words of Jesus unto they who follow him, Father God, in the name of Jesus, we're asking that the power of that blessed anointing penetrate the physical ramifications of mankind's existence, and that you speak to us through the power of the Holy Spirit, that we receive the greatness of your word with added joy, and that we reflect and we reproduce in the physical realm and in the spiritual realm, that all things be made right in our lives, in our minds, and in our existence, and the existence of those who are under the sound of my voice. By every evil element of the enemy, cast it down, cast it asunder, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the Lord of lords and the King of kings, the master of each and everything. We thank you, Father God. Amen. Let us go to the 16th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. As many have studied this book, this great gospel, the first gospel, in the very elementation of creating of the new world church, Jesus Christ, the very embodiment of God in the flesh, Emmanuel, God with us, comes to the earth to converse with mankind. Because, see, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same was in the beginning. And that Word took on flesh, was life. That Word took on flesh, and that flesh was among us, and that flesh was the Son of God, the likeness of God. That's right, God in the flesh, Emmanuel, which means, in the Hebrew tongue, God is with us. So in the book of Matthew, we see the foundation piece laid for the very existence of Jesus Christ, not only the his genealogical perspective of his family tree, we see the very mission that God had created for him upon this earth. He brought God to a personal level with us because, see, without having physical flesh upon him, he could not have dwelt amongst mankind. So he was indeed a man on a mission while God at the same time. That's right. So here we see in the 16th chapter of the book of Matthew, he's speaking to us. Let's read from the 7th verse. He said, they reason among themselves, saying, it is because we have taken no bread. It's talking about how the disciples and the followers becoming weak. They're becoming waxing. That's right. Waxing means tired, worn down, torn down. He says, which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, see, Jesus was God in the flesh, and he could understand the very elements of mankind's thoughts before he actually even thought them. This is what makes him what? Omniscient. That's right. That means all-knowing. He says, oh, ye of little faith. How many times has God dealt with us about our level of faith? That's right. Why reason ye amongst yourselves? You mean, why are you talking amongst yourselves? Because ye have brought no bread. He says, why are you complaining? Because you didn't bring anything to eat? Do you not understand, neither remember the 5 loaves or of the 5,000 and how many baskets he took up? That was in the 14th chapter of the book of Matthew. If you care to reflect back, that was the 15th to the 21st verse. He says, neither the 7 loaves or the 4,000 and how many baskets he took up? That was in Matthew, the 15th chapter, the 32nd verse to the 38th verse. He says, how do you not understand? I speak it to you concerning bread, that you should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. That means you should be weary of taking things into consideration that are not governed to your spiritual well-being. Because all things are created in the spirit realm before they take manifestation in the natural realm. That means we can't become affiliated with all these different types of affiliations and doctrines. We cannot embed ourselves with these different types of philosophies and man-made projections because this will cause us to fall from the grace of God. Therefore, he's saying this to us. They understood that how he bade them to beware of the leaven of the bread of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. That means beware of the teaching, of the conduct, of the mannerism. Don't get swayed by every wind of doctrine. Follow the word. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded from the mouth of God. And when Jesus came unto the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? He asked them, now, disciples, who do they say that I am? Who do they perceive that I am? He said that some say that thou art John the Baptist, some say Elias, and others say Jeremiah, as one of the prophets. He said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Who is Jesus to you? Who is he to you? Ask yourself, Jesus, who are you to me? I know what I am to you, but who are you to me? Can you define that right now? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, that means the anointed one, the Son of the living God, the epitome of God's existence. 17th verse. And Jesus answered and said unto Simon Peter, blessed art thou, I mean, hallowed, remembered art you. God has shined his grace upon you, Simon Bar-Jonah. For flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. He says, and I will say also unto thee that thou art Peter. That name Peter means rock, fortress. And upon this fortress, this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He's saying to Peter, based upon your revelation of who I am, who God has revealed to you I am, I call unto you that you are the chief. You are the head of the disciples. And through your revelation, the church of God shall be built upon the epitome of mankind's existence. That's why he will have an opportunity to come through the doors of the church, the true church. Not a brick and mortar building, but through the revelation knowledge. See, this is what makes the church. The building doesn't make the church. The bodies of believers conglomerated together makes the church. And the church is a spirit body. It is not a physical body. And he said in the 19th verse, I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on the earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. Well, this is the authority that every believer has in the name of Jesus Christ. We cast down every imagination that exalted itself above God and hold under captivity every thought exalting itself over Jesus Christ. Every spirit must be held captive. That's right. Every high place must be brought down. Every power must be conciliatory to the name of Jesus Christ. For it is in his name that every knee must bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord to the glory of God. So who is Jesus to you? Is he your Lord? Is he your Savior? Is he your counselor? Is he your Almighty God? Is he your Prince of Peace? Is he your everlasting Father? Is he your Lion of Judah? Is he your King of Kings, your Lord of Lords? Is he your Savior? Is he your brother? Is he your keeper? Is he your friend that walketh closer than any brother? We need to define who he is, because when we say that Jesus Christ is Lord of my life, we are trusting him to give us that miraculous breakthrough through the power of God, because the power of God, the very acknowledgement of God, sees us through the eyes of Jesus. And he being our righteousness, God can now look upon us with much love. That's right, because it's through love that God sent his only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth upon him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. But we need to define who Jesus is? Is he our Jehovah Jireh, God our provider? Is he our Jehovah Nissi, our banner? Is he Jehovah Rapha, our healer? That's right. Is he Jehovah to serve, our righteousness? Who is Jesus to us? Because whoever Jesus is to us, this is who God perceives him as being part of our extended family is. That's right. Great is this mystery of godliness. That's right. God can be everywhere at every given time. This is how we know that Jesus Christ, our Lord, is the very Son of God, the manifestation of God in the flesh, so that God the Almighty can become personal with us. And because he's personal with us, he knows our needs. He knows our desires. He knows that what we need at this very hour. Some of us need a savior. That's right. Some of us need a miracle worker. Some of us need a financier. That's right. Some of us need a physical healer. Some of us need a counselor to tell our problems to. Whatever you need, God has it, and he's able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all we're able to ask and even think. And Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for this time of the power principle, where we speak your word, where we believe your word, we acknowledge your word, and we acknowledge Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior. And we know through him we are more than conquerors through him that loves us. And Father God, we're asking that the power of our blessed presence come into each and every heart, each and every life, each and every mind, and each and every situation, and you would cause your miracles to take manifestation right here and right now. In that blessed Son, Jesus Christ's name, Father God, we thank you, we praise you, we acknowledge you, and we love you, for thou art God, and beside you there is none other. And Lord, we will continue to acknowledge you. As much as now giveth unto us, we shall give unto others. That's right. And we vow a vow that we shall not take back, because thou wast stood with us and thou delivered us. And we must tell the world that amongst all that is wrong, that there is a righteous God who doeth right by his people. There is a merciful God that doeth great by his people. There is a miracle-working God that works and performs miracles beyond our greatest degree of expectations. And Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you, and we expect a wonderful, glorious, and victorious week full of testimonies and wonderful things that thou hast done. And thy blessed Son, Jesus Christ, Father God, we thank you. Amen and amen. And we say to you, finally, our brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, for God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all we're able to ask and even think. You've got your host of the most from coast to coast, the Esquire, and the A-Tux, known as the Motor City Maharani, saying, in all things give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning us. That's right. And we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Be blessed. And share that testimony. We look to see you real soon. Oh, yeah.